A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and former England fast bowler Steve Harmison. Firstly, we'll look back at a dramatic final round of the T20 Blast group stages and look at England's first two T20s against Pakistan. But later on in the show, it's all about the 100, which starts finally this week. We'll hear from the Australian legend Shane Warne, the England Test captain Joe Root, as well as the likes of Ben Stokes, Joss Butler and Sam Curran. As well as that, we'll also be joined by Welsh Fire head coach Gary Kirsten and ESPN Crick Info's senior writer George Dobell. Plenty to squeeze in today. You're listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. Well, Harmy, the man of the week perhaps has been Liam Livingstone. What a stunning series. What an incredible 100. Owen Morgan said his 100 against Pakistan was one of the best he's ever seen. And then, of course, there was that six, which left headingly.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's left headingly. It didn't even, I don't even think it hit the rugby ground. I think it went, it was definitely going over the 22-yard marker. I know that when it was still going up. That was the amazing part about the six. It was still going up as it left headingly. So it was like a golf ball going off and it just kept going. He hit his heights and the kid played brilliant. Hopefully this is a light on moment for Liam. I don't think his talent has ever been in question. I think we all knew that there was a talented boy in there. I think it was just the mentality of getting his head around playing international cricket at the top level. And I think a lot of that has been going around the franchise world and playing in different environments, playing with different players, playing with different coaches. And I know we're going to talk to Gary Kirsten a little bit later on, but understanding and getting information off these, you know, these former great players to make you a better cricketer. And I think that's what's happened to Liam. And I'm really pleased for him. As long as he keeps his feet on the ground and understands what talent he's got, and I'm sure he will. I know the management people around him. He's got a good man on his shoulder and Neil Fairbrother. So I know for a fact that he's going to be level-headed. He's going to be grounded. And he's not going to get too carried away. And with that, I think the kid's got a bright, bright future because the innings and Will Morgan, I thought that was as good a 100 as I've seen at the shortest format. It might be a small ground. It might be in a good pitch. You've still actually got to hit the ball over the rope and construct an innings. And I thought he did that absolutely brilliant in that first T20. Magnificent from Liam Livingstone.
This is what Moeen Ali, by the way, had to say about that that Livingstone six after the game.
He's playing so well and he's a fantastic player. And he gives us that power that we need sometimes in the middle. Overs, he's very confident at the moment and he's playing, like I say, he's playing well. But I also seen Hickey hit one here years ago, playing for Worcester off the back foot, half volley, hit Goffey over the stadium. So that was just as big. But no, that was huge to that.
So a couple of other questions just quickly. It feels like it's about the seventh or eighth player I've asked you about this. Can Liam Livingstone become a fixture? Should he become a fixture in England's T20 team now? And where whose place does he take?
Yeah, whose place does he take? Having sat here for the last 2 weeks and talked about Joe Root having to be in the squad, he might have just took Joe's place, to be fair. I think he might have just nipped into that number six spot or in that batting order that can potentially bowl. We've seen a small sample of of what he did with the ball. I think we've seen a small sample of England's mentality over the course of these two games. They're gearing up towards Aberdeen, the UAE and the World T20, because they're playing Parkinson, they're playing Rashid, they're playing Moeen Ali, and they've got another option in Livingston. Milan hasn't scored the runs that he would like, that he's because he's world number one, but I wouldn't discard him, because even though I have mentioned Joe Root, and a lot of people do push Milan to one side because he's not as a fancied name or big superstar like, you know, the likes of the Butlers, the Stokes and people like that. But Milan is still, his numbers are still unbelievable. His numbers are still the best in the world. But I think Liam Livingston has just maybe nipped in and thought and took that spare batsman spot. The only thing I can say, man, is if I was ECB and the selectors, I'd be praying for an extra three players for the COVID bubble. If I have to pick 15, I've got no idea which one 15 I'm going to go with, because this is a ridiculously strong squad. Even at 18 or 19, you're still leaving a side out would probably beat 7 or 8 of the test player nations that are going to the T20 World Cup. I just think that's how strong England are at the minute. But for me, Livingston has not just penciled his name in. I think his name is in ink now.
I believe that the way the T20 World Cup squad system will work is that teams will all have to nominate COVID substitutes, but they won't actually travel. Imagine that. You're in the squad, but you have to stay at home. You can't come with us, and you're not allowed to go outside.
Can you imagine that? You've got, so it's going to be, when is it? October, November. Right. So here's one for you. You are Liam Livingston in Manchester. It's been raining for the best part of a month. It's about 4 degrees. And I have now got to get off a plane after 12 hours flying and traveling time, have about 45 COVID tests, pick a bat up and go and bat in 40 degree heat. Good idea that is. Well done, ICC. Brilliant thinking, that one.
I was going to ask you about whether Matt Parkinson could seriously challenge Adil Rashid in the future as well. But let's just hear from Paul Collingwood about Owen Morgan's form. It's funny how we always talk about Owen Morgan being out of form when he doesn't score runs for two innings. But this is what Paul Collingwood had to say about Morgan's form.
We all know what Owen Morgan can do. He can play an innings as good as what Liam played last night. Sometimes in T20 cricket, it takes one shot to get yourself off and running. So I've got no concerns with Owen's form. One thing I do know about him is he'll not die wondering. He'll not eat up balls because he wants to get himself in. He'll go out there and try to score boundaries and get himself back into form that way.
That was Paul Collingwood, who, of course, is a T20 World Cup winner himself back in 2010. So, Harmy, I asked you whether Matt Parkinson could challenge Adil Rashid in future.
Yeah, I don't think so much a challenge. I think he could be the next one in waiting. Parkinson, I think, he's bowled well so far in his international career. He's had a big learning curve. He had two good overs at Trent Bridge and then went for two big ones. And I think he got better in the next game because of that, because he was obviously thinking about what had happened in the game. So that, for me, gives encouraging signs that he's learning on the job of international cricket. Adil Rashid is, for me, he's been England's, he's been Owen Morgan's go-to man. And I know Paul Collingwood said about how they're not worried about Owen Morgan's form. I wouldn't be either. I think this guy rises to the occasion at the big stage. So I've got no problems with Owen Morgan. But Parkinson, because they're playing in the UAE, because they're playing in the shorter format, I think Parkinson and Rashid could play on the same side, along with potentially a Moeen Ali or a Liam Livingston or a Joe Root as your third spinner, because I think England needs three spinning options as the tournament goes on because of the pitches wearing.
Let's turn our attention quickly to the T20 Blast. And I know that all cricket fans will be aware of this extraordinary story with Hampshire, who appeared to have very, very little chance, if not no chance, of reaching the quarterfinals. But because even if they won, they seemed destined to be short on net run rate behind Surrey. And yet their final game against Glamorgan, they chased down 187 in 13 overs. James Vince went 39 off 21, Darcy Short 69 off 30. And Joe Weatherley's hasn't scored very many runs of late. 43 not out off 13 balls. Let me just say that again. They chased down 187 against Glamorgan in 13 overs at a scoring rate of just under 14.5. And if they had scored those runs in 14.1 overs as opposed to 13, Surrey would have gone through to the quarterfinals.
Who would be a bowler, Manners? Who would be a bowler? It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But fair play to Hampshire. We did say at the start of the tournament that Hampshire would be one to watch. And they fell by the wayside a little bit in that middle period, but they managed to get themselves in a quarterfinal spot. And Surrey will be disappointed. Surrey will be disappointed. They've had a poorish championship season. You'd expect the Brown Hatters to be at the top of all the formats, or contesting the all the formats. And even if they'd scraped in fourth into the quarterfinals, you'd still back Surrey to be one of the teams that would get you to finals there, potentially go on and win it because of the big players they've got. So there'll be question marks down there on regrouping and how they move forward from that. But fair play, Hampshire. Yeah, to know your total and what you've got to get it off, yeah, is one thing. But then to go out and get it, I think they lost the first wicket at 7.1 overs, were 101 for one off 7.1. That is a fantastic start by James Vincent Darcy Short. So they deserve to be there the way they played.
And a word to the Birmingham Bears as well, who rose to the occasion in their must-win derby against Worcestershire. They had to win to reach the quarterfinals, and they did it. So Birmingham Bears against Kent, that's a really mouthwatering prospect. Well, they all are, actually, to be fair, completing the quarterfinal lineup. Yorkshire against Sussex, Nottinghamshire versus Hampshire, Somerset versus Lancashire, and Kent versus the Birmingham Bears. And, you know, you look at those eight teams and you're not going to say nobody or anybody's lucky to be there.
No, there's some, you know, fantastic sides in there that all know the grounds that they've been playing on, that home advantage is going to be key in this quarterfinal. You know, the guys down at Somerset, they know the dynamics of the ground and, you know, the areas, the bigger areas to hit into, which they were comfortable. I watched Lancashire in a game against Durham. They came unstuck. Liam Livingston played well, but they came unstuck because they played on such a ground. The ground at Durham was massive. And it took them about six overs to work out that you haven't got to try and smash it out of the ground. This ground is too big. You know, it's too big. It's far too big. And the game plan that Lancashire had, it didn't register until later on. And by that time, it's too late and the game was gone and they lost. And that's how quickly 2020 goes. So that's what 2020 being a home advantage gives you. Your back knots with a powerhouse that knots have got. But you've just seen Hampshire chase 180, 185 and 13 overs. So from that, that's the tie of the quarterfinal. And it wouldn't surprise me if the winners of that tie goes through. On the other hand, if they get to finals there, are the England players going to be allowed to play? Which that brings in people like, you know, Sussex, you know, with Archer if they come back into it, as well as Lancashire with the likes of Josh Butler, Matt Parkinson and whoever, and Mahmood as well. So home advantage, got to get themselves over the line. But the finals day comes, then it could come down to who's got the biggest England players coming back after the 100 and in between test matches. So, but the tie of the round for me is Notts Hampshire. Be a beauty.
One little oddity on that fixtures on the quarterfinals is that the race for a home quarterfinal is irrelevant in Yorkshire's case because they will play Sussex at the Riverside because that's taking place the day before the Headingley test match. You're listening to The Cricket Collective here on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and former England fast bowler Steve Harmison. Next up, we'll turn our attention to the 100 and speak live with ESPN Crick Info's senior writer, George Dobell. This is TalkSport 2.
Because it's change doesn't mean it's not going to work. You know, we're the people who are taking part in it and we're so excited.
So excited for us to have a franchise tournament. Really excited to see. It's such a massive moment for us in England, and I'm really excited to, you know, for the start of the tournament next year.
It's our franchise tournament. It will propel players into the spotlight more.
It's a pretty exciting concept, pretty simple, and hopefully it can attract a new audience that we want to perform in front of, and hopefully teams can choose the Oval.
Just can't see how it's not going to be a success, really. You look at it for what it is, the players that are involved. Overseas players, the superstars of the game, they've all wanted to come to this competition.
You're listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and former England fast bowler Steve Harmison. Well, it's been years in the making, but this week we finally see the launch of the inaugural 100 competition. And as you heard there, the likes of Ben Stokes, Sam Curran, Joss Butler and Matt Parkinson are all looking forward to it. Time now to hear, though, from Australian cricket legend Shane Warne, who'll be the head coach of the London Spirit. And he thinks adding another format of the game is a good thing for English cricket.
I mean, I was a few years ago and I thought, you know, about the 100, I thought, oh, do we really need another form of the game? And then listening over the last couple of years about 10 balls, 5 ball overs, or if you call them overs and all that sort of stuff, the 100 draft, I thought, you know what, if you think back to T20, you thought, geez, we all thought, what's this? This is a gimmick. What do we need another form for? But I think this has got longevity. I think this will last for a while. And I think it's got a completely different audience that could really attract this. So I think it's going to be good.
Are you looking forward to working with Owen Morgan? Of course, he captained England to World Cup success. Are you looking forward to the partnership you and him are going to have over the next year or so?
Yeah, really looking forward to it. I think Morgs is the best white ball captain going around. He's a terrific leader of men. I think he'll make players play better than what they are and above themselves. I think he'll, tactically, we've got an advantage against all the other sides because of Morgs. So I've been really impressed with Morgs commentating, watching him, but now working with him the last week or so has been magnificent. The talks we've had. Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to it. He's great.
That was London Spirit head coach Shane Warne speaking to TalkSport's Sam Ellard. I'm delighted to say that we're joined live on the line now by ESPN Crick Info's senior writer George Dobell, who has written many thousands of very fine pieces. But this week, his piece on the 100, of which he remains unconvinced, I think it's fair to say, drew enormous attention. It was extremely honest. And I run the risk of trying to praise it. I must say to all our listeners, you best go and read it if you haven't. But George, I think it's fair to say that you make the point that a regional competition and something new and a boost for the game was all fair enough, but you say the ECB have got the product wrong. Is that right? Is that fair to say?
I don't know that the product's wrong, you know. I don't doubt that the cricket will be entertaining. I really don't. I really like cricket, and I think it's good whether it's played over 100 overs, 100 balls, whatever. I can cope with all the sort of the stuff that other people might not like, which I know is being sort of perceived as gimmickry. I don't mind that at all. My worry is the sort of the collateral damage. And by collateral damage, I mean the damage to the long existing formats of the game. So I think in introducing this new format, we're damaging T20. I would categorically say that we are. We're damaging the 50 over competition in particular, and we're even damaging our test team. So what seems odd to me, While acknowledging that the ECB had reasons to shake things up and do things differently, I applaud them for trying to do something. I think that we've said we're very reliant on this revenue stream, which is international cricket. So let's try something else. But if you're reliant on a revenue stream, you would think that you would nurture it. And it seems to me we're endangering it. And just to give you an example, England are 50 over world champions, the men's and the women's team. Fantastic achievement. And we're celebrating that by the best limited overs players no longer playing any 50 over cricket. And I know that sounds absurd, but what's happened is the best 100 or so players have either been taken out by England or by the 100. And so they're not playing the domestic 50 over competition anymore. Well, what will that do to England's 50 over team in a few years' time? You can't tell me that it's not damaging. And equally, we've squeezed the county championship into, I think I said in the piece that, you know, by the time it finishes you can hear the Pogues singing, and when it starts it snows every year now. That didn't used to happen. And the T20 Blast, which is a fantastic competition, which I do not believe couldn't have been the vehicle to more growth, has been squeezed into a much shorter window, so it's much less financially viable. So I think the ECB have taken a huge unnecessary risk when all they needed to do was get our great game seen by a few more people on free-to-air TV.
George, could the ECB have moved it back a year? Would that have been financially possible? I'm just thinking out loud in what we've got, COVID situation that we've got at this minute in time. England versus India, big powerhouse in Test match cricket. When last year it was going to be, you know, Pakistan and West Indies, not as fashionable as other teams. From a financial point of view, could this have been moved 12 months down the line, or would that have killed it completely?
It's a good question. I mean, to be fair to the ECB, they're in a really tough position, and I get that. You know, COVID hasn't made it any easier. All I would say is there would always be these problems. You know, you say that last year, and you're right, is not quite as fashionable an international summer, but every one of those games would have sold out in England. Make no bones about it. English international cricket sells out almost every day, which is an amazing thing, which is why I think we should nurture it and appreciate it. Could they have moved it back? I mean, really, that's a question you've got to ask the broadcasters. I think Sky in particular have been quite patient with the ECB. And, you know, they maybe take 1 year, but, you know, they have spent hundreds of billions of pounds. I mean, that TV deal altogether is worth over £1 billion. I know that most of that is on international cricket, but, you know, the hundreds of factor as well. They probably felt that they had to push on. I don't want them to hide behind COVID while accepting that COVID is a huge complication. A lot of these complications were always going to be there. You know, India were always going to be playing West Indies about now in the international calendar. The FTP, the Future Tours Programme, that has been there, I think, since 2017 or 18. I found a piece where I had written about it from 3 or 4 years ago. So the idea that there were going to be all these international players available was always a lie, really. I think it is a lie, because they're always trying to, it's like a Ponzi scheme. They're always suggesting, oh, look, all these players we're going to have in there. There was never any chance that it was going to be absolutely the best players in the world all the time, because the international schedule, as you know, is unrelenting. So it was always competing with all these other leagues, you know, the Caribbean Premier League, the IPL, all these other leagues, which are very attractive as well to players. So I think that the ECB might be able to use COVID to say, well, you know, it wasn't perfect this year, but we'll have another go next year. I think there'll always be problems.
But on that one problem that we seem to have had throughout this whole thing is being COVID. We didn't have that when it was announced at 100.
Yeah.
This one problem could cause the end of everything if one of the teams has a COVID outbreak inside their camp, because we've seen so far in the blast points per game going with, I think it was Derbyshire, and a game being called off.
Yeah. Yeah.
What happens if this comes into 100? There's no replacements. There's no academies. There's no second teams that comes with it. What happens?
Well, you can guarantee they will bleed the county system until it is dry. And so my issue, equally, I might say to you, so the 100 will be okay, I think, because the 100 will insist on the games going ahead and they'll keep going down through the system. Now, you know, when the 100 was launched and they talked about some of the players who were in it, you know, Steve Smith and Stark and, you know, Warner and all these people, Rabada, and now we have, you know, decent county players, but people you see every day of the week have been involved. And what will happen is, I think they'll just keep going down through the system. You'll end up with, you know, second team players, won't you, from counties, ending up in the 100 if there's an outbreak, to ensure the show goes on. And that's okay. But it does mean that those county teams won't be able to put sides out in the Royal London One Day Cup that is going on at the same time. So the problem will always be, you know, county cricket is hit again and again to make room for the 100. And eventually, if you devalue county cricket, you damage the England sides.
George, just finally, what would the ECB say to Vitality, which has seen their product significantly changed? I mean, counties are playing 3 or 4 games a week in the new format. And also, what would you say to Royal London?
Well, we've taken your money for a product and we've devalued it massively. Well, the ECB have done this before. If you remember, Investec signed a 10-year deal with the ECB. And then the ECB also signed up NatWest for the same England side. So you've got two competing banks being signed for the same thing. And Investec said, sorry, we want out. That's what happened. So what would I say? I'd say it's shoddy. I'd say it's really, really shoddy. And, you know, obviously you damage the long-term relationship with both sponsors and spectators and supporters. But I can feel myself starting to rant again, Manners. I can feel it coming on. I'm not anti-change. I'm not anti the format. What I'm anti is the sort of wanton destruction of the county game, which creates the England sides, which are terribly successful. And we're doing it unnecessarily. I believe in the product. I believe in the game. I just wish the ECB had the same belief that I have. If we got the Vitality Blast T20 on free-to-air TV just a little bit more often, I honestly believe that another generation of people would fall in love with our great game. We've still got a great game. It's why I'm actually optimistic. But I don't come from a cricket, particularly cricket-loving family. My gateway drug, if for want of a better expression, was the John Player League, the Sunday League, which was on BBC Two for years. And it was marvellous. And that I think, is all we needed to do. And for some reason, it's become so much more complicated. It probably started off with good intentions. Goodness me, there's a lot of ego involved now. Mm. And it just seems they need to force it through. But I say again, I do applaud them for trying to do something. Our game was slipping to becoming a bit of a niche sport. But the main issues are these, just to recap. If the ECB hadn't got rid of the premier domestic women's competition, the Kia Super League, and if the ECB hadn't allowed the game to disappear behind a paywall for 20-odd years, none of this would be necessary. The ECB have screwed up again and again, and this is their panicky solution. And while I accept that something needed to be done, you know, you don't necessarily jump overboard when your ship has a problem. And I think that's what they've done here. And I think they are sacrificing the other formats of the game. And I think it's short-termism. There's a lot to worry about. And I don't even know that I want it to succeed, which is a funny thing. I don't know. How do you guys feel about that? I mean, Harmy, what do you think?
I want it to succeed because I think it's important that the game evolves and moves and goes with it. My worry and the question I asked at the start, could we kick it down the road for another year? Mm. Because my initial thoughts is in this next 5-6 week period, we're not just competing with India. We're going to have to take, and the test team comes first, we're going to have to take 18 of our best players out of a competition that we are trying to market as the best competition that's going to not save English cricket, but promote English cricket to a whole new level, a whole new audience. And out of that 18, other than probably Leach, Broad and Anderson, I think the rest are coming out of the 100. And that, for me, without Stark and Smith and all these that you've mentioned that are already potentially devaluing the competition, that's my only concern.
I think it'll be there next
concept
year,
that might work. Concept is going to work. I think the concept's going to work because because professional cricketers will make it work.
I agree with that. Look,
I just worry.
I'll enjoy the game too. I don't think there's any hypocrisy there. I think the game will be fun. I think the cricketers are terrific. What's not to like? It's cricket. But those problems that you mentioned, as I say, India are in the Caribbean this time next year. So these problems will still exist. I still think there'll be difficulties getting players. England will still have an incredibly hectic international schedule. So there will still be all these problems. I don't think anyone was saying, do you know what we need? We need more cricket. It's just sort of ludicrous, pouring more on a cup that's overflowing. Look, and there were other things they could have done, apart from just having a bit more free-to-air. How about the equivalent of a 4 or 5 nations T20 competition, played in a bank holiday weekend, get Wales involved, get Ireland involved, get Scotland involved. They could have done that. There are so many other things they could have done. I would have had a T20 FA Cup style knockout. Give it to free-to-air TV. But let's not even try and make any money. Start with, say, Cornwall play in Somerset or whatever. And then, you know, you have a knockout. I just think that could have been, it would have caused very little disruption. It would have ensured that cricket was played and had media attention in different areas of the country. See what they've done now is they've actually shrunk the game. They've gone to cities. Well, okay, but what if you are from Devon or something like that? Are you honestly telling me that people from Devon are going to support Welsh Fire? That means ludicrous. All they're going to do is resent it. I say this as a Somerset supporter who's had its team absolutely ransacked. You know, I think Surrey have lost 12 players to the 100. Well, how are they? You know, I just think that's caused resentment. I think a lot, and I know it's, I don't speak for everybody by any means, and opinion is divided. I think a lot of traditional cricket lovers resent the 100 because it's actually damaging something that we care about. And I thought you know, there was some marketing for Welsh Fire and it said proving the haters wrong. That irritated me. I mean, that felt like a proper slap in the face. Mm. I'm not being funny, but I have loved and nurtured and tried to champion county cricket for 25 years or something, however long I've been doing this, to be told I'm a hater.
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you.
How bloody dare they? How bloody dare they say that we're haters? We've kept them going for bloody decades.
George, last week I said the ECB appeared to have got into a situation where they've put all their chips on one number of the roulette wheel. I mean, we're just very quickly, because you sound like you need to go for a run and let off some steam, but we have to support it. If we love cricket in England, we have to support the 100, don't we? We have to hope that that number comes up.
I'm not sure. I think, having thought about this quite a lot, I think we don't. I think we can think that if it fails immediately, we can move to something else. My own fear is that the damage is done and they'll move to an 8-team T20 competition. And I would have had a problem with that as well, to be honest. As I say, my issue is not the format. I don't like playing in a white ball window. I think that's a problem. I know players like it and I respect that. But I think it's a mistake because it means that you're prioritising. So I'm afraid I do think the damage is done, whatever happens. But I think it's quite important that actually it doesn't succeed, because then we maybe embrace county cricket again and appreciate that it's not perfect and it definitely was ripe for change. You know, the counties are absolutely in part the architects of this. They haven't moved with the times. They are, you know, culpable. They are, no doubt about it. But I do think that that is still the route to go, and that by disenfranchising tens of thousands of people who just see themselves as cricket lovers is a remarkably poor marketing move. Hey, I might be proved wrong. I would say that the cricket will be quite good, I'm sure. And the fact that it's on free-to-air might be very relevant. But you could have had quite good cricket on free-to-air without risking anything. Without risking anything. So why not have done that?
George, keep up the good work. So good to chat, as always.
Good to see you both. Good to see you both. Anytime, eh?
That was ESPN Crick Info's senior writer, George Dobell. No doubt about how strongly he feels. You're listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and Double Ashes winner Steve Harmison. And next, we'll hear from Trent Rockets star man Joe Root, and we'll be joined by Welsh Fire head coach Gary Kirsten. You're listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with the Institute of Cricket.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Time for a franchise setup, isn't it? I think, you know, there's always going to be critics out there, but until they see the quality of the lineups, and now they've seen the quality of the lineups, and people will be going, wow, that's some decent players. You know, your quality of domestic players squeezing from, you know, 18 counties into 8 basically franchises, I think it's pretty exciting. I think people love it.
You're listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and former England fast bowler Steve Harmison. If you've missed any of the show or you wish to catch up, you can listen back to the podcast now available on the Following On feed via the free TalkSport app or wherever you get your podcasts. Time now to continue our build-up to the start of the 100 and hear from England Test captain Joe Root, who says the 100 presents an opportunity to make cricket even bigger in England.
It's a great chance to grow the game. I know there's been a lot of talk about it. I think it's going to be really good for English cricket, and some good young English players are going to have great exposure to work with and play against some of the world's best coaches and players. So I think it's brilliant for the game.
And in terms of first picks, Rashid Khan, he's not bad, is he?
No, he's pretty good. Yeah, very happy with that one. I think there was a lot of noise and people expecting that to be the case, but no, I think it was a very shrewd move. Spinners have generally had a lot of success in 2020 cricket, and obviously this be slightly different, but someone with his skill and what he can do, impact he can have on a game, I think is a very shrewd selection.
I spoke to Chris Wokes last week and he was saying he's excited by the prospects of the strategies involved. You see, like the Southern Brave, they've gone quite crash bang wallop with their selections, whereas Birmingham have gone quite knuckleball bowlers, that sort of stuff, and he loves to see the sort of how a captain would manoeuvre the field to suit different players. As a Test captain, are you excited by that challenge of captaining, or if you are captaining the side, the sort of tactics involved?
I think just looking at the game and the different ways in which you could go, and like you say, the way sides have set up, it does tailor around certain plans, if you like, but you will have to think about it differently. You'll find yourself in situations and scenarios which you've never found yourself in before. And as players, you've got to learn that very quickly. But I think through it, you'll see that have a knock-on effect with the other formats. And guys take that into 50-over cricket, Test cricket eventually, down the line. So I think it'll grow the game, and I think it'll improve the game. I think 2020 cricket has improved skill level throughout all formats, and I think this will have the same impact.
That was Trent Rockett's batsman and the England Test captain, Joe Root, speaking with TalkSport's Scott Taylor. I'm delighted to say that we're joined live on the line now by Welsh Fire head coach Gary Kirsten, who is just coming towards the end of his period of quarantine or self-isolation. Gary, you've had a lot of time in the last week to think about this tournament, but you've had a lot of time in the last 2 years to think about it.
Man, it's been crazy, hasn't it? Just, in fact, it was, when was it? In 2019, we came for the draft. and everything's changed quite a bit since then. So I think it's great that it's eventually getting off the ground. Shame. I do feel for the organisers and the effort that they've put into this event. And eventually it's hopefully going to take place and we're going to see through the tournament.
And your squad doesn't look very much like it did when you chose them in 2019. You've had a lot of withdrawals, not just your squad, but everybody.
Yeah, our squad's changing every day, actually. So it's an interesting one. But I'm sure it's the same for every team. But yeah, it's just, it is what it is, isn't it? You just have to accept it and just move on. I mean, I think it's great to be part of this event. It's a new one for us all. And it's great to get in the mix and to be part of something like this.
Gary, was there any concern with COVID coming over to coach in the 100? I know there's a lot of people pulled out. Stephen Fleming has pulled out as coach. Was there any concern for Gary Kirsten?
Steve, no. I mean, I'm a South African. Eh? We're a pretty resilient bunch. Eh? So we'll go anywhere in the world, to be honest. But I think it's unprecedented times for us all. I think there's always frustration around the way it's kind of stopped us from living like we want to live. But I think it's, you know, we've got to be realistic about it. I think our biggest fears are always around family and just that they're safe and healthy. And, you know, we're cricket coaches. We've got to get around the world. We've got to travel, you know. So it's something that I'm used to doing. In fact, I'm not very travel fit. I haven't been involved in a coaching gig now for the better part of 2 years. So I'm actually looking forward to the opportunity.
And there was a lot of criticism in 2019 when the coaches were announced, that there was a lot of foreign coaches that came in, especially for some England, former England cricketers. But do you feel as though the value of what the ECB have put into the 100 and what they're trying to make the 100 to be that it had to have coaches from all around the world with different ideas, different mentality, and to give the competition, you know, some credibility as well.
Yeah, Steve, I think you're spot on. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you're always going to have people that are resistant to change, and then suddenly change happens and, you know, you can convert them. Say, well, you know, what a great thing. I remember how resistant people were when the IPL started in 2008 in India. And now it's one of the, you know, the greatest cricketing events around. So I think it's good. I think certainly the conversations I've had with our players at the Welsh Fire, they're very excited about a new competition. They're going to play with a new bunch of players. It's a new team. And kind of with newness comes excitement, you know. People kind of enjoy it and doing things slightly different. I've had a bit of a taste of what the county season is like, having been on the periphery of some of the players, and it can get quite mundane and routine. So I think everyone's looking forward to this month.
And there's one thing that you as a coach, because you've been studying it now for 2 years, trying to get your head around the new rules and the regs and everything that goes with it, is the one thing that you think that is going to enhance the game of cricket for the public to watch? Because this is what the idea of the 100's been. It's been something new, 2.5 hour match. It's something different. What is it going to get people's sort of bums on seats?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think the bottom line is the vision to find a new cricket market. And I think it is, you know, I think it is to find other people that might have generated interest in the game. So that's one thing. I think the rules are quite funky and interesting. I mean, there might be an opportunity to kind of have a look and understand that. I know from a player's and a coach's perspective, we're all looking for that competitive advantage, but the intel that I've received is it's all fairly new. There was a couple of trial games a few years back and I didn't get a whole lot out of that. So it's going to be trial and error. I think we're going to kind of work out as we go along as to where the competitive advantages lie within the teams. But it's great. It's a franchise tournament. You know, you've got players that are out of the various jurisdictions that are playing for teams. Us as coaches are trying like anything in a very short space of time to build cohesion and, you know, to get the players to play for a shared purpose, which is not easy. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. You know, obviously the teams want to win and do well. We want to, you know, show that we've got something and that we picked the right players. But I think it's just going to be an exciting, fun event.
There are certain things that you must be finding very difficult to plan for, like the 10 ball over. Do you have any thoughts on who and why and when they might be appropriate for a bowler to bowl a 10 ball over? I mean, have you found a fast bowler who's excited about that prospect?
Well, if he's got 2 wickets in the over and has gone for 1 run at the end of his 5, maybe you convince him to do another 5. Yeah, I think that's probably going to be where the big strategic plays are going to happen, you know, from a captaincy and a coaching perspective, is what do you do around that time? I mean, you might find a spinner who's going really well, the ball's turning a bit, and, you know, you can keep going with him. He bowls his 10, he doesn't bowl the next 5, and then you bring him on for another 5, and then you bring him on for another 10. I mean, it's, or another 5. So it's, he can bowl 20 balls out of 25. It's amazing. So I think that's where we'll find the big differences that you will get in this compared to a 120 ball game.
And just quickly, a word about some of the players in your squad. Johnny Bairstow's your big name player, I suppose, at the top of the order. Ollie Pope, of course, is probably going to be injured. Glenn Phillips has had an amazing season in the Blast, so he'll be fun to watch. Liam Plunkett, World Cup winner, he's... I don't think we're trying to find out how much cricket he's been playing recently. Have you?
I think he hasn't played one game. So that'll be interesting to watch.
Is that best when fresh? He's going to be best when fresh, Liam, isn't he? He's going to be chomping at the bit. I'm sure he's going to be chomping to get going.
That's been our strategy. Play as little cricket as possible and then get into the tournament. Yeah, I mean, if I look at our squad, obviously it's changed fair amount. We're hearing that Johnny Bairstow, who we've kind of designated as our captain, is now suddenly becoming a test cricketer again. So we could have him for maybe 1 or 2 games. But I think we're just kind of used to the chopping and changing around. But I think as a as a squad, we've got some nice options. We've got a bit of depth in our batting, which is something that was important because we weren't sure who was going to be available and not available. We've got some guys that have been in some fairly good form in the Blast, which I'm pleased about. Ben Duckett's done quite nicely for Notts. Ian Cobain got a score the other day, which was good for us. And I think we've got some decent depth in there. And then our bowling lineup, we've obviously recruited in Lungi Ngidi from South Africa, but he's not available for the first few games. So we've got James Neesham in. So we're going to have to be a little bit more creative around our bowling, but we'll see how it goes.
And how much are you looking forward to working with Johnny? Because I know you might have him for three games, but you might have him for the whole lot. He's got so much experience in T20 when winning with the Sunrisers. He is one of your marquee signings. It'll be disappointing to lose him to test matches from a selfish point of view.
Yeah, Steve, it will be, because I think it has been a fair amount of planning around it. I mean, I was keen for him to captain the side, and he was keen as well because he wants to kind of broaden his game a little bit. He's a great player. He's very competitive, and he's got a way of playing that is very endearing for short format cricket. So I'm looking forward to working with him. We've had a fair amount of conversations already, but it is what it is. I mean, if he's getting a chance to play test cricket for England and we're not going to have him, that's the priority. It's as simple as that. And we need to accept and move with the times, but I certainly will, look forward to the bit of time that I have working with him. I think we've realized now that, coaching in short format cricket's quite involved, and there's quite a lot to do. It's not like test match cricket where the whole game unfolds a lot slower. There's a lot of moving parts in a week. So I'm kind of looking forward to getting into the energy around that.
Well, we're looking forward to watching the tournament as well, Gary. Thanks so much for joining us, and good luck with the Welsh Fire.
Thanks, guys.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective here on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and former England fast bowler Steve Harmison. And in the final part of the show, we'll hear from England bowler Kate Cross as we continue to look ahead to the start of the inaugural 100 competition. You're listening to the Cricket Collective here on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and former England fast bowler Steve Harmison as we continue to build up to the start of the inaugural 100 competition. It's time now to hear from England bowler Kate Cross, who will be captaining the Manchester Originals. And she's been telling TalkSport how important it is that the women get to kickstart the tournament on Wednesday evening.
I didn't know this. It's incredible news that we're getting to have the first ball of it. And I think, again, it just goes to show kind of the level playing field that we're going to be on with the guys. There's obviously been a lot of talk about that in the media, but I think that and the equal prize money is just pretty incredible from the ECB that they've kind of pushed for that. And again, it's for us as players, we just, we can be as appreciative as we want for the things that get said. But when things are actually getting done, we're kind of starting to see things take a bit more shape now. And we're kind of really seeing how equal they want to treat us, which is, like I said, for us as players, is really important.
Yeah, and you look at the Manchester Original squad, you've got the Zelli, Mignon, Dupria there as well. And you look at the other squads in the 100, there's so many star international players from the women's games. Does that just show you how in demand the 100 is for women's cricket?
Yeah, we've been crying out for something like this in the UK. We obviously had the KSL, which was kind of our stepping stone to get towards, to get people interested in coming over and playing cricket in England. But you've only got to look at the likes of the Big Bash and what kind of is being created in the IPL over in India. But there's a thirst for women's cricket. We saw that with the crowds that we've got in the World Cup final, and that was in 2017 and in 2020 as well. So, it's there. People want to pay money to watch it. And, we just need the support, like I've said, from the ECB to be able to have that. But the amount of the names that we're getting signed up for the 100 has just been incredible. And it's going to be, as good as anything else that's out there at the minute. And it's going to look a bit different. But at the end of the day, it's still a game of cricket, and it's whoever scores the most runs wins. So, you can't go too far away from that.
You said it's going to be a different game of cricket. I have to point out the obvious, so it's only 100 balls compared to 20 overs. Will that make a huge difference for you guys, or how do you approach that?
I think it's going to take maybe a year or so to kind of get used to the tactics of it specifically. But for me, it's just obviously, like you said, it's less balls. So you've got hopefully less people needing to bat. I think it's harsh on the bowlers. I think I keep saying that cricket is a batter's game, but they seem to be finding new ways to make it even more challenging for us. But that's the excitement of the game. You know, everyone loves 2020 cricket. That's where you see most of the money. You see a lot of people in, you know, the big crowds sold out for the T20 games. And it's because of that excitement. And, you know, you get down to the final couple of overs and you still don't know who's going to win. So I've absolutely no doubt that the 100's going to create that as well in the men and the women's game. And I think people are interested in it because they don't quite know what it's going to look like yet. But we've played some warm-up games for it. It was a while back now. It's a couple of years. But it's a game of cricket. You know, it felt exactly the same pretty much. You just counted to five instead of six, which is actually really helpful because it's one hand.
Paul Shaw's your head coach at the Manchester Originals. But how you must have played under him when he was England coach back in 2013-14. So how key is it for you to have that familiarity in someone like Paul?
Yeah, well, he gave me my debut for England. So, yeah, it's like a nice little circle for me because I think Shawsy's the kind of coach that, you know, he instills a lot of confidence in players. And I think that's really important for where we are as a group. And he's our regional coach as well for the Northwest Thunder. And he's just the kind of character that you know, the energetic, the remember why you played the game kind of attitude towards cricket, which I think sometimes gets lost in professional sport. I think he's just going to be a real positive force around the dressing room, which I think goes a long way in competition cricket specifically, because you kind of need that coach that trusts you as a player to be able to go out and do what you need to do for the team, and Shawsy's exactly that kind of character.
The Manchester Originals captain Kate Cross speaking to TalkSport's Scott Taylor ahead of the start of the inaugural 100 tournament this week. Well, Harmy, George Dobell spoke with great passion about the women's game, and there's no doubt, I think, I certainly haven't heard anyone doubt that the 100 will be a huge shot in the arm for the women's game.
Yeah, it's something I think, when you look at the men's game, is it a gamble? Is it not a gamble with all the things that's going on around it? I think we've got to try and detach the women's game from that comparison, because I think the more high profile women's cricket that's played and in the public eye, I think the better the product will be. And I think that's the challenge for the game at the women's level at this minute in time. More exposure, bigger crowds, bigger atmospheres, where the players will get better because of playing in these big atmospheres, which will make the players better. And fingers crossed we can get some more, you know, young girls into watching. I know I've got a 13-year-old niece who just loves the game of cricket because she watched the women's game earlier this year. She watched the test match. She thought it was brilliant. She's now playing and she's now enjoying it. And I'm sure there's hundreds of little girls like Ava around that are just watching the game and hoping that they can be the next Kate Cross, and, you know, the next England players. And that, for me, is the challenge that the ECB have got to try and drive and develop cricket at the top level of the women's game from a domestic point of view. Because I think internationally, we've got a decent side. We've just got to make sure we consistently make that side better. And I think competitions like this, best players playing with each other, and some of the, you know, the players that aren't getting international recognition, playing with players that are playing for England and for other teams around the world, I think that can only be a positive and a benefit. So fingers crossed that is what's going to happen for the Women's 100.
Breaking boundaries on TalkSport 2 with the Institute of Cricket. For the best chance of making it in professional cricket, you need to train with us. Find out more at instituteofcricket.com.
Right, it's time now for the Breaking Boundaries feature. And many thanks, as always, to David Smith and the Institute of Cricket. David, Freedom Day, we've all enjoyed it now. It's come and gone. But how are the government's lifting of restrictions affecting you?
Well, it's been a strange year, clearly, in terms of participation in cricket. I think that when we've been open, we've never been busier. I can honestly say that I've never felt busier with the children and the parents that are so desperate to get their kids back into activity. So, you know, from that perspective, it's been great. You know, when we talk about Freedom Day, I mean, the amount of isolations that are going on at the moment are making it not a Freedom Day, certainly in our area at the moment, because there are so many matches and practice sessions and, you know, and parents cancelling sessions because their children are currently in isolation. So, hey, it's just another roadblock that we've got to get through in a crazy year. But we'll certainly get through that. And hopefully once the children are out of school, things will start to calm down a little bit.
David, we've been talking on this show, me and Manners, to a whole host of people about the new ECB competition, the 100. How do you see that impacting on maybe schools cricket, juniors or anything like that? Has it affected any of your summer camps coming up? Because you'll have summer camps coming up. Do you see anything changing because of a new format that the ECB have brought in?
I think it will take a year of the new format for things to really start to develop. There's definitely the appetite for cricket in this country. I've got no doubt about that. I think parents are starting to see the advertising and the national marketing campaigns for the 100 ball. And obviously people are talking to me about booking tickets to go and see the competition at Edgbaston. So I think it will take a little bit of time for it to really capture the imagination of the children, because I think we've already got the blast in place as well at the moment. The competition will be really successful. I've got no doubt about that. But I think it will just take a year for it to really start to, for children to start to support a team necessarily. Yeah. And for that loyalty to start to develop. But the fact that the games are going to be on terrestrial TV, I think will make a massive difference as well.
And looking ahead, David, I've been around Northumberland's under 13s all summer. And we talk about isolation and talk about Freedom Day. And the kids have been decimated by not being able to play because they've been taken out of the game. What do you see the challenges moving forward later on into the summer and possibly into the winter? Because the reason why I asked that question is some of the kids' best learning and development is in, you know, winter coaching and winter nets, because you get a longer time with the children. Do you see that, because you'll be planning for that program, do you see that having any impact?
I think there's always still a worry. I think as a business owner, you've always got a plan for different possibilities. And I would like to think that we wouldn't go backwards from where we are at the moment. But I think, like everything, you never know at the moment. And we're planning. We've got a full range of programs running across this winter, and we are exceptionally busy, as I said before, in the summer as well. I just hope that we built a marquee last year to run our winter program out, so that we weren't reliant upon any indoor venues opening or closing, so that we were in full control of our own destiny. And there's a part of me that's thinking we may have to look to rebuild that again over the winter, just in case things don't go the way that we all expect. And I think in terms of contact time, certainly the most time that you spend with the kids is certainly in the winter phase, working towards that summer period. Once it gets to the summer, you tend not to see them as much because they're just fully focused on game time. But yeah, from our perspective, winter is where the main bulk of the technical work is done, definitely.
Finally, you know, you talk about the marquee and everything that goes with it. You know, tell us a bit more about where we can find you and,
sure.
and you know, push what you're trying to drive to get these kids not only playing sport, playing cricket, yeah. but try to make them better.
Yeah, so look, completecricket.co.uk, instituteofcricket.co.uk. We're really looking forward to a really exciting summer. We've got camps running across Warwickshire, Gloucestershire, Derbyshire, Oxfordshire. We've got numerous places that are being sold already. And, you know, the numbers for our camps have honestly never been busier. And we're really looking forward to a really exciting summer, obviously tying in now with the new competition, the 100 ball. So yeah, please have a look at our website and get booking.
Many thanks for your time, as always. And thank you for your support, David.
No worries, guys. Great to see you again.
That was the Breaking Boundaries feature, and many thanks to the Institute of Cricket, the place to train for the best part of making it.
Breaking Boundaries on TalkSport 2 with the Institute of Cricket. For the best chance of making it in professional cricket, you need to train with us. Find out more at instituteofcricket.com.
Final thoughts, you got 20 seconds. Anything you want to get off your chest? Anything you haven't said about the 100 before we wrap?
I think we've more or less said everything. I think it's going to be fascinating to see how it goes. I was sceptical at the start. It's here now. Let's get behind it. Let's back it. Let's hope that it becomes the best product that we can possibly be. And this time next week, we'll have seen a few games and we think, you know what? What a fantastic game of cricket. What fantastic cricket we've seen. Fingers crossed we're not seeing, I didn't understand it.
You've been listening to the Cricket Collective here on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and former England fast bowler Steve Harmison. If you've missed any of the show or you wish to catch up, you can listen back to the podcast now available via the free TalkSport app. We'll be back at the same time next week. This has been the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.